Hey, everybody, before we get into today's podcast, just a few housekeeping notes. If you want to support the podcast, the easiest way to do so is to subscribe on either Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And then on Apple Podcasts, leave us a review and rate the podcast. Obviously, the better the review and the rating, the better it is for us. We also now have it set up that if you want to help the podcast financially, there's going to be a link in the podcast description to allow you to do so. You can do so for as little as 99 cents a month. Those donations all go straight back to helping the podcast, helping us get better mics and software and stuff to allow us to continue to bring you the best content we can. So those are just the things. I understand if you don't want to donate any money, totally get that. But it costs nothing to go like and subscribe and leave reviews. So if you guys could all go do that, that would really help us out. Helps with our rating there on Apple and Spotify that allow people to find us easier. So if you're currently listening, if you could do that, take a few minutes, go do that. The podcast isn't going to start for a few minutes, so go do that. All right. Let's get into today's episode. Welcome back to the Fighting Alone podcast, everybody. Today's episode should be a little bit more fun than our past topics and more coherent than that bonus episode I released last week. I know I had originally said today's episode was going to be about my time in Germany, but the more I thought about it, the more I realized that some of the smaller details that make any travel kind of story interesting have faded from my memory since I did go to Germany over 8 years ago now. And then, the overall big story about how I got over there and what was my reasoning for being there and all that wouldn't have made for fun radio, so to speak. So I decided to scrap it. But luckily, one of the founding members of one of my personal favorite bands, and a band that I believe has had a huge impact on American society, whether you are a fan of the band or not, had a birthday this past week. And that gave me the idea that these guys have been a band for a while, so might as well dive into it. And if you don't know, or you didn't see the Instagram post from this weekend when it was that said individual's birthday, today we are going to be talking about the Grateful Dead. They have been a band, well, they were a band for about 40 or 30 years before they initially broke up. Then they got, or not broke up, but stopped touring, and then they got back together, over the next 20 years, for reunion tours, and all in all, have been a touring band for about 50 years. They pioneered a new style of music, and they also, for some strange reason that we may not even be able to get to or completely discuss in this episode, formed a cult following of fans that I personally am a part of, and I know many other people are as well. That is just pretty amazing to see. So, without further ado, let's go ahead and get into this. In 1965, in Palo Alto, California, a band known as the Warlocks was formed with members Jerry Garcia, Bob Weir, Phil Leish, Pigpen, and Bill Kreutzmann. Later that year, after playing a handful of shows, the band renamed themselves a name that you all probably know them by a little better, the Grateful Dead. The Grateful Dead, the band had played a few shows as the Warlocks, but Jerry Garcia decided to change the name after reading a definition in the dictionary. Based on what I could tell from an interview with him on The Tonight Show back in the 1980s, he says he saw a definition in the dictionary. The band's first show as the Grateful Dead on December 4th, 1965 was at one of Ken Kesey's acid tests. These acid tests were large parties that Ken Kesey, a well-known American author, would give everybody small amounts of acid, and just not small amounts of acid, but give everybody some acid or LSD, in case you were wondering what I meant. And they would then, play music. I've heard stories that even though there were bands there, that participants of the acid test would play their own music or sing in the background. It was kind of a free-for-all. And after that first show, the Grateful Dead did become a big staple in the Ken Kesey acid test world. They also played in the 1966 Trips Festival, another psychedelic rock party festival kind of thing, put on by Ken Kesey as well. They became a huge part of that scene, the 19 in there in the 1960s in Palo Alto. I know Bob Weir has gone on record saying he took LSD every day, or not every day, every weekend for a while there. And I think you can really tell it did inspire a new style of music, because the Dead did, like them or not, and I understand jam band music isn't for everybody, but they did kind of merge folk, country, rock, all this stuff into one giant album. A lot of it comes from the band playing shows on acid every weekend. The songs had notes, but they would play different variations of the notes, different keys, different, major, minor, different chord shapes to get the same note that made their music unique. And a lot of times, yes, it's the same song, but it wasn't really played the same way each time, which, gave it this unique factor that I think really, especially, coming out of the 50s, arguably the birth of rock and roll, in that decade, really did show some exploratory stuff with all that, and it came by the help of some illegal substances, whether you're into that or not. I'm not saying go out and start taking acid to be the next, big rock star, but it was definitely a part of their creation, and it fit in with the time. And in the late 1960s, the band started touring. When they did start touring, they did have a decent following, but they also had some trouble with the law. In 1970, the New Orleans police raided the band's Bourbon Street hotel, and they charged a total of 19 people with possession of various drugs. After they actually managed to get the second night of their concert there in New Orleans, after posting bail. So, they got arrested, went to jail, and made bail in time to get to the concert. Those charges were dropped all for the most part, except for their sound engineer, who was already facing some other drug-related charges in California for manufacturing LSD, since LSD isn't a naturally occurring psychedelic. like some of the others out there. And then if you ever listen to their song Trucking from the American Beauty album, they mention this incident in New Orleans in that song. So if you want a good listen, it's also a great intro song for anybody trying to get into the Dead. And you know, the Dead continue to tour. The band continued to tour throughout the 60s, 70s. They ended up getting a tour in sorry about that. Just drew a blank. They ended up getting a tour in Europe in 1972. In 1972, or following that tour, Pigpen, the keyboardist, his health got to a point where he couldn't tour with the band anymore. His final concert with the band was in June 1972 at the Hollywood Bowl in Los Angeles, and then he died later the next year in 1973 with complications from liver damage. That kind of, a little sad part there in the band's history. They also ended up playing a concert underneath the pyramids in Egypt, which is really unique. I think, you don't really see that much anymore, if at all, since then. It's pretty cool. Sadly, the official end of the band came in 1995, when Jerry Garcia died. Jerry had many complications with, eating habits, as well as he had a heroin addiction, which all kind of led to, probably an earlier death than what would have naturally come to him. So, in 1995, the band did stop officially touring. I say officially because later in the 90s, let me see if I can get the exact year here. I want to say 99. 1998, Bob Weir, Phil Lesh, and Mickey Hart, Lesh, Phil Lesh, wow, and Mickey Hart formed a band called The Other Ones. They were some of the remaining members, and they played a little handful of concerts here and there, up until 2015, the bands played, or the remaining members of the band played in different kinds of offshoot bands, had different reunions, and kind of kept the Dead touring legacy alive. And then in the reason I mentioned in 2015, they kind of culminated it with the Fare Thee Well tour. It was a group of five shows celebrating 50 years of the Grateful Dead. I know I had tried to get tickets to this working in college, and I was going to drive up and do the whole thing, but tickets were crazy expensive for this, and I live in Austin, Texas, and the only ones I thought I was going to be able to go to were in Chicago. Obviously I didn't make it, but in 2015 they had that kind of culmination. It was a really big send-off, and it kind of, for all intents and purposes, signified the end of the Grateful Dead. Now, that doesn't mean the Dead are completely done, but in 2015, the Dead, or some of the remaining members of the Dead, joined and started the Dead & Company. So the Dead & Company replaced some of Jerry Garcia's parts with John Mayer. He plays keyboards and is on vocals, along with Bob Weir, Mickey Hart, Bill Kurtzman. So it's pretty awesome. I was actually supposed to go see them as well this year, but then COVID happened. So, you know, go that. So that's kind of where we are touring-wise with the Dead and what is left of them. I'm going to take a quick break here, and then we're going to dive into some of the culture that revolves around the Dead. All right, I'm back. Thanks for that little break there. So like I said, we're done kind of with the overall band history. I was trying not to bore anybody too much with that because, you know, I feel like everybody's band history is basically the same. They formed, they played some shows, they stopped performing together. Yeah. And not that anybody cares about that. You know, great band, it's fun, whatever. Look into that stuff if you're more interested in it. I just don't want to spew off a bunch of dates to y'all. And I want to get into some of the stuff that I consider a little bit more fun or exciting, you know, about the Grateful Dead. The first thing I'll bring up, and I find this really interesting, and you're actually kind of starting to see some stuff related to this incident, or not incident, but yeah, let's call it an incident, popping back up now, is in 1992, the Grateful Dead sponsored the Lithuanian Olympic basketball team. Lithuania gained its independence from the USSR and then subsequently had to withdraw from the 1992 Olympics due to a lack of money. But there was an NBA star on the Lithuanian team who wanted his team to compete, so he reached out to people to try to get funding and ended up getting a call with one of the representatives of the Grateful Dead and the band members. And they, after a meeting, agreed to pay the transportation cost, about $5,000 in 1992. And then the Grateful Dead designed their jerseys, shorts, and some t-shirts. The Lithuanian basketball team went on to actually win a bronze medal in the 1992 Olympics, and then subsequently, because of that, the Lithuanian basketball Grateful Dead, I guess, collaboration t-shirts became a huge part of pop culture, especially in Lithuania, obviously. But one of my, if you're actually really interested in seeing what these shirts look like, Phoebe from Friends wears one. So if you do a quick Google search of that, you can get a glimpse of one of these shirts. They're pretty awesome, and I may see if I can find a link to throw up for y'all if you guys are interested in seeing them in the description. I think probably the most well-known thing of aspect of the Grateful Dead that people think of is their live shows. The Dead never really stopped touring during their career. They allowed people to, actually record their music. If you go on YouTube, you can see full concerts, listen to full concerts. You can find full concert audio. So a lot of the income came through that, as well as, you know, some good licensing for their time period. They played over 2,000 concerts in their initial touring until 1995. Obviously, that's when these numbers stopped. That's when the official Grateful Dead stopped. And the real cool thing is these concert places would basically become, marketplaces. They were known as Shakedown Street. Created by their fans that are deadheads. You could buy and sell whatever you want, food, homemade t-shirts, and like I mentioned before, people would sell their recordings of concerts from, that they had been to in the past. I know it's a big badge of honor for people older than myself who are deadheads to talk about how many shows they went to. And unfortunately, I still haven't seen them live, or at least this newest iteration of them live. But it's a pretty cool thing to see that you would have people who would, save up money all school year. For example, high school kids used to, save up all their money, and then all summer would drive around the country following the dead as much as they could, and then once the money ran out, they'd head home, do it all over again, and keep going. And it's a big thing. It's just, I don't think there's anything really like that now. You will have bands where obviously, a handful of people travel here and there to go see a band, but I just don't think, from my experience, living in Austin, like you don't see, being a big music hub, you just don't see people like coming from all sorts of places, or like a large group of people who is like, okay, I'll see you at the next show. It's like, okay, I saw them and I'm done. And it's probably something we won't see again. I think a lot of it had to do with that 60s and 70s culture, like when the Dead were really big, and then it carried on through the 80s and 90s because new people coming in to be deadheads. Would just kind of see that's what it was. I just think it's, one of the magical things of the Grateful Dead. And again, if you deadheads as fans would make these, just communal living situations, and you could buy, communal living, it's the way to put it. You could buy, shirts, and I think those, I'm leaning on shirts, but I personally, I think it's cool, like, to see, to see the custom-made, homemade shirts, and you can still buy them on places, on the internet has kind of made those resurface. Man, I don't know why I'm struggling with my words today, but the mass-produced shirts are awesome. Like, don't get me wrong, I have a couple. I have some mass-produced stuff here and there, but just kind of the creativity that you saw come out of that, and the uniqueness that you see with some of the Grateful Dead gear is pretty on point with just something that you may never see again. And I don't think we will. I think a lot of it had to do with the time. And there are other offshoot bands. Fish is a good one if you want to look into it. But just the Deadheads are, and this all may be biased as me being a huge Grateful Dead fan myself, that it's something magical that, and unfortunately, I've never experienced it at an actual concert. But I have met, through being a deadhead, met people who have gone to concerts. I have family who used to travel around and follow them. And stories are just awesome. And if you ever meet somebody, I recommend talking to them about those stories. And, dive into it, So, instead of me rambling on and on about how awesome I think the community of the Grateful Dead is, I'm gonna go ahead and give y'all some, if you haven't listened to the Grateful Dead, some good introduction songs. I was trying to look into a way I could play these for y'all without getting the podcast pulled or in trouble, but I had some issues with, actually started a YouTube channel recently and had some issues with that, of some of my videos getting demonetized. So I just decided to play it safe. And I'm just gonna go ahead and give y'all a few song names that I think everybody should look up, whether you're a Deadhead or not. I already mentioned Truckin'. Truckin' is a good song. It's kind of a, it tells a story. Like a lot of the Grateful Dead songs, it's rocky, but there's a folk aspect to it where they tell stories. It's a good intro song for anybody. It was actually originally written never to be finished, but it kind of blew up, got up to 64 on the charts when it was released, and kind of took off from there. And the band never really came back. It was supposed to be just a continuous, they just keep adding on to it as things happen in their life, and nothing was ever released of it. The other song I'll recommend is Ripple. You've probably heard this in TVs and movies. It's used a lot. At least there's a heavy mandolin aspect to it. Actually, that song drove me to go out and buy a mandolin, which I played for about 6 months and then stopped. So, it's a really good song. It was actually my introduction to the Grateful Dead. Like I said, I had family who were into the Dead and all that, but they never were like, "Oh, listen to this, listen to that." And I heard Ripple on a TV show, and I remember just sitting there thinking, like, "What is this song?" Did some digging, and the rest, as they say, is history. The next song I'll say, this one you've probably heard as well if you're into older rock, and it's Touch of Grey. It was the Grateful Dead's biggest commercial hit. It's really good. It's just an all-around good song. As a Dead aficionado, I have trouble saying it's a great song because it was so commercially good, and I feel like at a certain point, as any kind of fan of any music, you just kind of stop liking the major commercial hits. But if it were to get you to listen to The Dead, it's a great intro. Great intro song. And it's pretty upbeat. And can make you feel good. So, another song I'll recommend is Sugar Ree. Now, with this one, Jerry Garcia had his own band there for a little bit. And there's a live version out there of him performing it with that band, not the Dead, that I would recommend listening to as well. I know it kind of is counterproductive to this podcast, but it's a good song. It's a Grateful Dead song. Yeah, it's the Jerry Garcia band, but it'll get you in. And then one of my favorites that I recommend everybody listen to as well is Scarlet Begonias. It's another great uplifting song. And then the last one I'll recommend, that's a fun song, a good, just a good upbeat kind of party song, is you can't really say that about a lot of Grateful Dead songs, but I'll put it in there. At least, me and my friends used to party to it back in college, and it was how I would get non non-Grateful Dead, Deadhead fans. I'm not even gonna say Deadhead. I think, you can be a Grateful Dead fan without being a Deadhead. How I would get them into it is Casey Jones. It's a good song. Again, it's the 60s and 70s, and the band was heavily influenced by drugs, so keep that in mind when listening to this music. And when it comes, I'm not suggesting because the songs suggest drugs to do it, but hey, if you do, you do. If you guys do listen to the Grateful Dead, go ahead and DM your favorite song to the Instagram page, and you know, we'll figure it out. Or if you listen to any of these songs, you know, let me know which one you liked the most, which one you didn't like. If you want to hear more about the Dead, like, there's a lot I could do. I wanted to do a quick overview. Jerry Garcia's birthday was this past weekend, like I mentioned, on August 1st. So I wanted to do something kind of to honor that. And like I said, I think this was a little bit more interesting than me talking about a trip I took 8 years ago. Like I said, I could spend all day on this. I try to keep these a little bit more short for you, so you can listen to them on your commute or whatever, but on a run, on a workout. But I feel like I've already gone over that with this episode. You know, if you guys enjoyed it, let me know. We can maybe do a Grateful Dead part 2. Like I said, this is one of my favorite bands. I know jam band music isn't for everybody, and I know this music has a time and a place, and you know, the best thing I can recommend is finding the Grateful Dead on Spotify after you're done listening to this and subscribing, and then go and take a walk somewhere in nature. Go sit out on your porch or something and just really get into it. Like most music that came out in the 60s and 70s, I feel like you get the best experience when you listen to an album top to bottom, not just the hits. I think you get a better experience from it, but do what you want, get into it. I know I didn't start that way. I just listened to the hits, I listened to the songs I liked, you know, and then through meeting other deadheads and all that, I started getting a little bit deeper into it. And I hope if you do start listening to this, you know, you can get the same kind of experience I had. Find a nice little community, find, you know, kind of a time capsule of music that even though there won't be any new stuff, you just love listening to it. And, you know, you can listen to live shows and things are always different. So I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. Let me know what you think. And if you guys enjoyed it, let me know, and we will maybe do a little bit more in-depth, talk about some of the weirdness and not just an overview of the Grateful Dead next time. All right, guys. Have a good day. Bye.